what you were doing today. Do you remember when you drove from some of my worst drivers to think about someone who unfortunately I never met? I met him through the meetings and the calls and who have to. I'm going to talk today about Walt Whitman's service in the Civil War. Walt Whitman was born into a Quaker family on Long Island that later moved to Brooklyn. In his later years, his spirituality deepened with the life and death experiences he had during the Civil War. Most of us are aware of Walt Whitman as a prolific American poet, especially with his series of poems, Leaves of Grass. However, his work as an untrained nurse in the Civil War is not as well known. With Confederates firing on Fort Sumter, war began, and Walt Whitman's brother George was one of the first to join the effort. 1862, it was listed that George was wounded at the Battle of Fredericksburg. He enlisted in those days the wounded in the newspapers. Walt Whitman traveled to Washington City searching the hospitals for his brother, but to no avail. He finally took a train and a boat to Fredericksburg, Virginia. There he found George's unit and saw that he had sustained only a facial wound. He was overjoyed, but that joy was short-lived. He was at the Lacey Mansion, still exists today in Fredericksburg, so-called Chatham, where he saw something he thought he'd never see. Underneath a tree outside the mansion, there lay amputations from all the surgeries. The reality of the war set in, but he was horrified. He felt the calling then and there, and so began his ministries to the men that would last the duration of the war. Inside the Lacey house, where Clara Barton herself nursed the soldiers, every space, the floors, the tables, and even the bookcases were filled with the wounded. With frightful wounds, the men lay everywhere, swimming in blood, filth, and even vermin. Contaminated air grew worse by the hour. Outside, men lay on the frozen ground, and the lucky ones were in tents. Walt moved through the snow, talking to each soldier. He said, "I do not know that I do much good, but I can't leave him. Once in a while, a youngster holds on to me convulsively. I stop. I sit with him for hours if he wishes it." Walt said that in the simple matter of personal presence and emanating ordinary cheer and magnetism, by help more than by medical nursing, pharmacies, gifts, or money, or anything else for the troops. Think about the power of just being there for someone, even if it is in silence, not saying a word. So often we think we have to do something visible on concrete for another person. Walt Whitman is teaching us another lesson, the power of the human spirit. I have heard so many friends and even relatives tell me time that when a friend or family member is ill or dying, they do not visit them. Because what can I possibly say or do? Pause for a moment and recall Walt Whitman's example, just being there for someone. Everywhere he went, he carried an old leather, weather-beaten satchel on his shoulder, which was recently displayed at the Library of Congress. In that satchel, he carried tobacco, candy, jars of jam, fruit, pickles, cookies, wine, brandy, socks, handkerchiefs, underwear, pencils, and writing paper. To secure these items, he begged, borrowed, and then used his own funds. He got a part-time job at the Army Paymaster's office, making $27 every 2 weeks, and spent $10 of it on gifts for the soldiers. Imagine that sacrifice. He had to eat, he had to pay rent, and he had to pay transportation to and from the hospitals and the battlefield. To get additional funds, he wrote war stories for the New York Times, the Brooklyn Eagle newspaper, where he was once the editor. He kept track of these needs of the soldiers by making a small pocketbook. It consisted of pieces of paper that he sewed on the edge together. And each day he carried that with him. He jotted down what he could learn from the patients, their name, their rank, their regiment, their bed number, the nature of the wound, names of family members and wives, He found he was of greater service when he was performing the smallest tasks for the men. He gave them writing supplies, and for those who couldn't write, he sat by the bedside and wrote letters home. His notebooks revealed how pitifully little men wanted and how he faithfully, peacefully met their needs. In his own words, bed 53 wants licorice, bed 6 raspberry vinegar to make a cooling drink with water. Bed 25 refuses money and food, so I'll bring him a pipe and tobacco because I see how much he enjoys a good smoke. Bed 45, he wants some whorehound candy for a sore throat and cough. Scurvy and malnutrition were rampant among the troops. The gifts of fruit he made saved many a life. He estimated during the course of the war, and this is just unbelievable, that he made 600 visits among 80 to 100,000 of the wounded and sick in hospitals and on the battlefield. In the final year of the war, Walt was physically and emotionally exhausted. Exposure on a daily basis to filth, disease. He developed tuberculosis, and it spread throughout his whole body. One lung collapsed, the other functioned at 1/8 of its capacity. In 1873, he developed congestive heart failure from a stroke, which left his left arm, his leg, weak. Right up to the end, the very end, he was writing Leaves of Grass, editing it, adding poetry. Well, it was almost 300 poems. He passed in 1892, but content, he had served well. I'd like to share a little story with you to highlight one of his poems. Every day, Walt loved to walk the city of Washington. One morning on 16th Street Northwest, he saw a sole rider approaching on horse. The man respectfully tipped his hat, and Walt did the same. That man was President Abraham Lincoln. Walt believed he saved the Union and was supportive of his efforts to free the slaves. He was devastated by his assassination and wrote many, many poems about the event. In the great rotunda of the Capitol, Lincoln's coffin was draped in the flag and lilacs. He referred to Lincoln in the poem he wrote as the Western Star. The poem is entitled When Lilacs Last in the Dooryard Bloomed. He also cites in this poem the song of the hermit thrush, which chants a death song. The lilacs, the star, thrush form a trinity. The poem is quite long. I'll just share with you a few lines. When lilacs last in the dooryard bloomed, and the great star in the western sky in the night, I mourned, and yet shall mourn with ever returning spring. Ever returning spring, trinity, sure to me you bring. Lilac blooming, perennial, drooping star in the west. And I thought of him. I thought of him I love. I hope Walt's selfless service will inspire you to think of small ways in which you might help others and to recognize that such acts of service, whether as a parent, a caretaker, a friend, will enrich your life as it did for Walt Whitman. Thank you.